Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 47. Pravritam cha nivritam cha dvividam karma vaidikam avartate pravritena nivritena shnute amritam. Pravrittam cha nivrittam cha dvividam karma vaidikam avartate pravrittena nivrittena shnutem ritam. Pravrittam cha nivrittam cha dvividam karma vaidikam avartate pravritena nivritena shnutem ritam. Pravrittam cha nivrittam cha dvividam karma vaidikam avartate pravrittena nivrittena shnutem ritam. Pravrittam cha nivrittam cha avartate pravrittena Vritam cha nivritam cha vidikam karma vaidikam deva vritena asutam ritam. Vritam cha nivritam cha Om Sadhu Vaidikam Nivritena Nivritam Om Chana Vritam Sha Om Vaidikam Nivritena Vaishnavis, Vritam Sha Nivritam Sha Yam Karma Vaidikam Vritam Vritena Tenasite Vritam. Pravrittam, inclination for material enjoyment. Cha, and. Nivrittam, cessation of material enjoyment. Cha, and. Dvividam, these two varieties. Karma, of activities. Vaidikam, recommended in the Vedas. Avartate, one travels up and down through the cycle of samsara. Pravritena, by an inclination for enjoying material activities. Nivritena, but by ceasing such activities. Ashnute, one enjoys amritam, eternal life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedas, there are two kinds of activities, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti activities involve raising oneself from a lower to a higher condition of materialistic life, whereas nivritti means the cessation of material desire. Through pravritti activities, one suffers from material entanglements, but by nivritti activities, one is purified and becomes fit to enjoy eternal, blissful life. Please repeat. According to the Vedas, there are two kinds of activities, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti activities involve raising oneself from a lower to a higher condition of materialistic life, whereas nivritti means the cessation of material desires. Through pravritti activities, one suffers from material entanglement, but by nivritti activities, one is purified and becomes fit to enjoy eternal blissful life. Purport. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 16:7, pravrittim cha nivrittim cha janana vidur asuraha. The asuras, non-devotees, cannot distinguish between pravritti and nivritti. Whatever they like, they do. Such persons think themselves independent of the strong material nature, and therefore they are irresponsible and do not care to act piously. Indeed, they do not distinguish between pious and impious activity. Bhakti, of course, does not depend upon pious or impious activities. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6, Savai Pumsa Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktirat Hoksaje Ahoitiki Apratiyata Yayatma Suprasidati. Quote, the supreme occupation, Dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service to the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. End quote. Nonetheless, those who act piously have a better chance to become devotees. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:16, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritana arjuna. Quote, O Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me. End quote. One who takes to devotional service, even with some material motive, is considered pious, because he has come to Krishna. And because he has come to Krishna, he will gradually come to the stage of bhakti. Then, like Dhruva Maharaj, he will refuse to accept any material benediction from the Lord. Svamin kritarto smi varam nayache. Therefore, even if one is materially inclined, one may take to the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, or Gaur and Nitai, so that he will very soon be purified of all material desires. Chipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachchati. as soon as one is free from inclinations toward pious and impious activities, he becomes a perfect candidate for returning home back to Godhead. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu and Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Kaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again, according to the Vedas, there are two kinds of activities, pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti activities involve raising oneself from a lower to a higher condition of materialistic life, whereas nivritti means the cessation of material desire. Through pravritti activities, one suffers from material entanglement, but by nivritti activities one is purified and becomes fit to enjoy eternal blissful life. So these terms, pravrittim cha, nivrittim cha, or pravittam cha, nivrittim cha, occur in different places in the purport. Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the 16th chapter, you know, pravrittim cha, nivrittim cha, cha jano navidar asura. The asuras, they don't understand what is to be done and what is not to be done. Whereas the devotees, they understand what is to be done, what is not to be done. And in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, these words come up again, pravrittim cha, nivrittim cha. It's in the verse where Krishna explains that that understanding which comprehends what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is to be feared, what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating. That is understanding in the mode of goodness. Whereas in the modes of passion and ignorance, one doesn't understand what is to be done, what isn't to be done, what is to be feared, what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating. So in society today, which is very much influenced by, you know, the modes of passion and ignorance, we see that most people have no idea what is to be done, what is not to be done, at least according to the Vedic standard of things. According to the Vedic standard, jagya sishtashana shanto, you know, a person should eat only food which is offered to the Supreme Lord in sacrifice. And what kinds of foods does the Lord accept in sacrifice? Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachtati tadaham bhaktya paharitam ashnamik prayadat nama. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if one offers to me with love and devotion a fruit, flower, water, in other words, vegetarian things, then this is a suitable offering. And then one can take the remnants of such offerings as prasadam. And that is nivrittim. That is liberating. And therefore, you know, a devotee will understand it's not proper to eat meat, fish, eggs, although these things are promoted, you know, very heavily in society. You know, there's so many fast food places, McDonald's, KFC, spending billions of dollars every year promoting through all different kinds of media, you know, the idea that, yes, you should eat fish, meat, eggs, you know, prepared in different ways. So that is the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement, is giving people the understanding what is to be done, what is not to be done, what is to be feared, what is not to be feared, what is binding, what is liberating. Because these activities that are very prominent in the modern civilization are actually binding people to the cycle of birth and death. You know, so the whole civilization is structured in such a way that people are not actually making progress. You know, they tend to measure progress in terms of how much money people are getting, how many highways they have, how many smartphones they have. They measure progress in that way. But in Vedic civilization, people are interested in the progress of the soul in the cycle of reincarnation. So, under Rajarshis, saintly kings, in Vedic times, civilization was arranged in such a way that people can satisfy the material needs of life in a way that's harmonious with spiritual principles, and at the same time makes spiritual progress, so that at the end of this life, the soul makes progress. It either achieves liberation from the cycle of birth and death and goes back home, back to Godhead, or gets another chance to complete the path. You know, if one makes, you know, this is explained by Krishna to Arjuna. Arjuna asks Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, well, what happens to somebody who takes up the path of devotional service and then doesn't complete it? Krishna explains, well, such a person will take birth again in this world in a nice family with some opportunity to again take up the process of devotional service from where one left off in the last life. So by that standard, there is a civilization that is organized in that way for that purpose, is helping the souls of the people in that civilization to make real progress. Whereas, and it may not be the same type of progress that people imagine today. Of course, even in Vedic civilization, there were sometimes misunderstandings about what actual progress is. You know, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that in the purport, this pravrittim. Sometimes, even in Vedic civilization, people would be attracted to the rituals, the karmakanda rituals in the different Vedic literatures that promise higher material enjoyment. So, of course, in modern civilization, they think they can achieve a higher level of material enjoyment simply by making different political and economic arrangements. See, it doesn't really always work out. There's always some kind of economic crisis, some political crisis. The politicians can't get together. You know, so even they're trying for material progress, they're not always successful, and the results aren't evenly distributed. But in the Vedic conception, even if they were interested in material progress, they understood you can't do it by yourself. You have to satisfy higher powers, the demigods. So there were systems for demigod worship. But in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna rejects that. He said one shouldn't worship the demigods for a higher material standard of sense gratification, even though it's possible to do that. Because any type of material sense gratification, even on the higher planets of the demigods, is temporary. There's still going to be birth and death, entanglement in the cycle of samsara. So the ideal thing is to engage fully in the activities of nivrittim, which means pure devotional service without any motive. Like Lord Chaitanya was praying, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhagavad Bhaktir Hoitiki Tvayi. I don't want wealth, you know, I don't want followers, I don't want beautiful wife, beautiful husband, I don't want reputation as a great scholar. Simply want to serve you lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, and don't even want liberation. So, you know, that is the mood of the pure devotees of the Lord. Of course, in a material society, one wants all these things, and one wants wealth. You know, we see the promise of wealth is very attractive. There's huge lotteries that are run in all different countries, including the United States, where, you know, people buy lottery tickets for the chance to become instant millionaires. Because, you know, they think that's the goal of life. That will make me happy. Of course, they've done studies, you know, that have shown that usually when people win the lottery, they find themselves entangled in all kinds of problems. But, or followers, the way people judge themselves these days is how many followers do I have on my Facebook page? Yeah, do I have 3,000, 5,000? Or if you run over your friend limit on your Facebook page, you can get a public figure page, and maybe you have, you know, you measure how many millions of followers do I have. So so people are after these things. Now, of course, we may look at ourselves as devotees, practicing devotional service, aspiring to become pure devotees, and we see, well, we're still dealing with money, for example. Like we were celebrating the other day, how much was contributed to the BBT for the year and for the marathon, Christmas marathon. So that's a different thing. That is not for anyone's personal self-aggrandizement. That is for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, you know, that they want this knowledge of what is to be done, what is not to be done, spread all over the world so people can benefit. So one measure of that is how many books are distributed and the way society is set up. It costs money to print books, so therefore if money can be collected to increase the number of books that are distributed, that's transcendental. Or you know, we want people to become followers of Krishna, not of ourselves. We don't want them to become our personal followers, but we want them to become followers of Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees. So there is the concept of engaging things in Krishna's service. And Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, says that Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, without attachment, one should engage everything in Krishna's service. And that if something can be engaged in Krishna's service and you reject it, that is called false renunciation. So real renunciation means to engage people, money, everything in Krishna's service, because it's all Krishna's energy and it's meant to be engaged in his service. So there's one verse, akama sarva karma va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. And so whether one has no desires or has all kinds of desires, or one has a desire for liberation, one should practice intense devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the recommended process. So and that's from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that verse. And in his purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that Jiva Goswami says that the real meaning of akama, being without material desire, means having no selfish desire, but simply experiencing happiness only through the happiness that Krishna experiences. Krishna Bhakta Niskam Ata Eva Shanta. The devotee of the Lord is without selfish desire, but he has the desire to please Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, the devotee is pleased. And that's possible because we have some organic connection with Krishna. Just like the parts of the body are connected to the whole body, the leaves and twigs of the tree are connected to the whole tree. So that if you water the root of the tree, then all the leaves and twigs automatically experience the benefit of the water. Whereas if you put the water on each individual leaf and twig, the benefit won't be gotten. In the same way, if the different limbs of the body, like the hand, want to experience the benefit of food, they have to give the food to the central organ in the body, the stomach, which then distributes the nourishment, the results of the nourishment, to all parts of the body. So, because as individual souls, we are part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, Krishna, when we serve Krishna and Krishna's pleas, then we automatically experience some pleasure from within, from the soul. And that pleasure is far superior to the pleasure that one tries to get by putting the material senses in contact with material sense objects. So the real meaning of desirelessness means desiring everything for the satisfaction of Krishna and Krishna's pure representatives. And that is possible because we're part and parcel of Krishna. Amaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, each individual soul is a fragmental part and parcel of me. So because that connection is there, when Krishna actually becomes pleased with us, then we experience a pleasure that's higher than material sense gratification. And if we didn't have some experience of that, we wouldn't be here. We're all here because each of us has, in our own way, experienced some of that higher taste. Sukham atyantikam yat tad. It's a higher type of pleasure. Atindriyam, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, it's experienced through transcendental senses. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. When we serve the Lord of the senses with our purified spiritual senses, that is the actual definition of devotional service. So now our senses are covered and we're in the process of reawakening our original transcendental senses. We're purifying our senses by putting our senses in contact with spiritual sense objects rather than material sense objects. With the eyes, you know, we see the beautiful form of Krishna in the deity form. And with our ears, we hear the transcendental sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra and the words of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, descriptions of Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam. With the tongue, we taste prasadam. We also have to engage in some kind of work. So instead of working for sense gratification, we work in devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna and Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. So in that way, we're engaging our now contaminated senses, and we're engaging them with pure sense objects and pure sense activities, and gradually we're becoming purified. And part of that is we understand pravrittam cha nivrittam cha, what is to be done, what is not to be done. And we have our regulative principles. We know what is not to be done. Don't do this, don't do that. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. And we know positively what to do. Chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra, come to the temple programs, hear Bhagavad Gita, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and carry out some practical activities and devotional service, the main activity of which is sankirtan, spreading the chanting of the holy name, distributing prasadam, distributing transcendental knowledge in book form, preaching. So these are our activities. I'll stop there. Does anybody have any question or comment? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.